How many of you know Jesus loves you? He loves you. Hallelujah. One of the things that you need to know about the love of God is that He loves you as much as He does Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, He loves Jesus? The Father loves Jesus, doesn't He? Well, He loves you just as much. Amen. He loves you just as much. Let me just tell you, there's nothing you can do that would stop God from loving you. Amen. Now, there might be some other things that you're not maybe not qualified for or whatever it might be, but let me tell you something. His love is unconditional. He loves us. I want you to rest in that. One thing I know, He loves me. Say it with me. One thing I know, He loves me. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, He loves you too. And you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We want to welcome those of you that are watching online. It's our privilege to be ministering the Word of God tonight here. Pastor and Mrs. Hagen are, as Reverend Tad said, are up in Seekonk, Massachusetts, conducting a crusade up there. And our prayers are with them. How many of you pray for them? Would say this: I actively pray for them when they're on a crusade. I'm going to tell you. So I'm going to encourage you to do that, because they're on front lines. Not that they're not on front lines here, but it's intense. It's very intense to do a crusade, and you know, those are special meetings, and people come expecting special things from God. And so we want to pray, and I want to encourage you to pray for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, that they can be mightily used of God, first of all, and second of all, that they would have the revelation from God that they need to share with those congregation, and then thirdly, that God would strengthen them and keep them strong and healthy and protected, going there, being there, and coming back. Amen. How many of you would declare boldly, they shall return safely to this place in Jesus' name? And so we got to learn to pray. We got to learn to use our authority in some of these areas, because that's our pastors. Amen. And so we speak on their behalf, because they're our pastors. We have a connection there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Recently, I've been hearing and seeing some things that Christians have been doing and saying, and I've wondered, marveled at some of those things that are being said. Of course, on Facebook, you see a lot of things, and you know, and people. I think sometimes people don't realize how far it goes when they put it on Facebook. You know, and I was, I don't know particularly. Just watching a series of things, and I can't tell you exactly who said what or what I heard, what I saw, but the Spirit of God on the inside just gave me these words. It was just a question that came up in my spirit, and it was this: can they not discern what is right and wrong? That's a question. Can they not discern? Say it with me. Can they not discern? Now, we're going to look at some scriptures tonight. I've got a lot of scriptures, and I've got a lot of things. I don't know if I'll get it all covered tonight, but we'll go as far as we can tonight. Amen. I've already had orders. We shouldn't be here until 10 o'clock or even 9 o'clock. And so I guess we won't. All right. Hebrews chapter 5. How many of you got a big sigh of relief there? My God, I'm glad we're not going to be here till then. All right. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. Now it starts out, it says, for everyone. You might want to note there, everyone. That would include you, isn't that right? And me. who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so we see that God desires for you and I and for all of his children to be able to fully discern between good and evil. What is good and what is evil? You say, well, Brother Yoder, I've left that evil stuff a long time ago. And you know, we have our ideas of what evil is, but if you look in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, God defines evil as a heart of unbelief. If we're in unbelief, that's evil in his sight. And that's not something that we want to get into. Isn't that right? Look at your neighbor and say, man, I'm not going there. And so we need to realize then that when things are not of faith, although they may be good, if there's not an attitude of faith or reflecting the principles of faith, or something's not moving along in accordance with faith in God's word, then it's not something that God gets involved in, because He's a God who honors faith. He looks for faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I find that there are a lot of people, good Christian people, that do not realize the importance of faith. Some of them try to look for other ways, shortcuts, if I may say, to the things of God without using their faith. Some think that faith is a hard thing to be demanded of people. But you know, if you took faith out of the equation of receiving from God, it'd be left up to what you and I could do by on our own. It'd be whatever you deserve. And I'm not going where I don't want to go where I toward that which I deserve. Do you? So we need to recognize that. Now I want to look also at one of Paul's prayers, not in Ephesians, but in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, there's a prayer there of Paul. That's a very interesting prayer. I've been praying that prayer for a number of years. And I believe that we ought to take a look at this prayer, because I believe it will help us to see what it is that God wants us to walk in. He said here, and this I pray, verse 9, Philippians 1:9, this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more, isn't that good? In knowledge and discernment. All discernment. King James says judgment, I believe. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see something here. It is true that our love should abound more and more. We should be like Christ in freely distributing his love. And we ought to take the love that God has given to us and be distributors of that love. Isn't that right? And it is true that you and I should love everybody. And we have to, you know, if you're a human being, you'll have to, you know, some people you can say it easily, and others you say it by faith. Just simply because God told you to. But you see, now, here's where sometimes we don't go far enough. Our love that we extend to human beings and to other people should not be blind. See, the end of the sentence is not just loving everybody. I mean, the hippies back in the 60s did that. They loved everybody. Peace. You understand what I mean? But you see, now here's what he said. In knowledge and all judgment, or all discernment. And so we need to see this. I like to say it this way. We need to add the eyes of knowledge and discernment to our love. Come on, are you still there? All right, are you listening? You see, we ought to be able to understand what is of the Lord and what is counterfeit. Amen? We ought to be able to discern when God shows up. And we ought to be able to discern when it's something else. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Nothing so unsettling to think that something was of the Lord and you found out later it wasn't. That's very unsettling, isn't it? It's like it's a stab. It's a stab at your own spiritual well-being. It's like, God, I thought I was better, more equipped, more mature than that. How could I be taken in like that? Do you know what I'm saying? And so sometimes we have these things. Both knowledge and discernment indicate being able to understand or see something. You ought to be able to understand these things. You ought to be able to see these things. And so I know that there are many things out there. Many things out there. We used to have a saying when I was a kid growing up on the farm. It said, red in the morning is the sailor's warning. Red at night is the sailor's delight. Anybody ever heard that one? And we would look at that. We would watch that because, you know, we wanted rain. But there's times certain things that we did, like cutting hay in the field, you know, baling it and getting it into the barn. We wanted to get in the barn without getting it wet, without getting it rained on. And so we would watch that. Red at night. Sailor's delight means no rain. Or we would look for the dew on the grass in the mornings. If there was no dew on the grass, probably no rain. Okay? So there's things that we would do to discern natural things. That's a good thing, isn't it? But now Jesus said this. He observed this. He said this in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 1. Matthew 16 and verse 1, he said this. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him, asking him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And so there is a possibility that we can discern natural things, but not spiritual things. I mean, these people right here, Jesus said that's how you are. You can tell when it's going to rain, but you can't tell when the rain from heaven's coming. The Holy Spirit. And so we need to recognize that's an interesting thing. Actually, Jesus upbraided the Jews for not being able to discern spiritual things as God's people in that day. And so the Jews did not, as a result, perceive or discern the things of God during the time of Christ. Luke chapter 19, here's another verse that we can look at. Luke 19 and verse 41. Look at a number of scriptures tonight. Again, like I said, I don't know when I'm going to be able to, or how much of this I'm going to be able to cover, but you need to, I believe, get this. I needed this myself to be able to articulate some things and be able to see some things here. Luke 19, verse 41, now as he drew near, he saw the city, and he's looking at Jerusalem, and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, And verse 44, and level you and your children within you to the ground. They will not leave you one stone upon another because you did not know, or the word that's being used there is a Greek word, genosiko, that means also to perceive. Okay? To be able to see something spiritually or something that's not just physical. That you did not know or perceive the time of your visitation. Now, isn't that a sad commentary? To me, that's a sad commentary because all of a sudden you've got a nation. Christ came and they didn't recognize him. That's a sad state of affairs. But I have to tell you this, that Israel didn't start out that way. I have to say it to you this way. They became that way. They became that way. That same Greek word there, genosiko, is also the same word that's used when Jesus was dealing with the woman with the issue of blood. And it says, he says in Luke chapter 8, verse 46, Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived, or I genosiko, power going out from me. Same thing. A spiritual perception or a spiritual discernment that needs to happen. Jesus said he wept over the city because the Israelites weren't able to do that at that time. How did they get there? I found it interesting to see how they got there so that I don't go there. Because I don't want to go there. How many of you with me on that? So the Jews, over a period of time, I'll say it this way, over a period of time, they became that way because they repeatedly refused to obey the voice of God. In Matthew chapter 13, now let's look at this. Matthew chapter 13, we'll look at, pick it up in verse 9. Are you all right? Everybody all right? How many of you are asleep? Look at your neighbor and see if he's asleep yet. See if I put him to sleep yet. I know what you're going to say. You're the one that put them to sleep, preacher. You wake them up. All right. You heard about the little boy? Preacher noticed the guy, his daddy was always sleeping, so he said to the little boy, the preacher said, Sonny, he said, I'll give you a dime if you'll keep your daddy awake during the sermon. He bothers me when I'm preaching. He's sitting on the front row like Ron here. And so he said, okay, next Sunday, the daddy goes to sleep and the little boy doesn't bother waking him up at all. And after church service was over, the preacher said to the boy, he said, I thought we had a deal. He said, we did until my daddy offered me a quarter to let him sleep. All right, now you're awake. Matthew chapter 13, verse 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You might want to lift your hand and say, he's talking about me right there, talking about me. And the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? Verse 11, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know, or genosiko, perceive, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but then, to them it has not been given. Now, if we stop right there, we'd say, okay, it's been given to them not to know, and it's been given to you to know. Evidently, God made a decision in heaven. Therefore, it was a sovereign thing that we can't really do much about if we stopped right there. But I'd have to tell you, that's really not the whole picture. Okay? Let's go on reading. Verse 12, for whoever has to him, more will be given. And he will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. We're talking about the knowledge that you need, the revelation or the understanding, the perception that you need, the discernment that you need. If you have that, or use what you got, more will be given to you. If you ignore it, despise it, just neglect it, guess what? Somebody else gets it. Now let's go on. 13, therefore I speak to them in parables because here's where they're at. Seeing, they do not see. Hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Verse 15, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, and so that I should heal them. Interesting. That's why they did not recognize the time when Christ came. Because by that time, their ears were hard of hearing, their eyes were closed, their minds were dull of understanding. And that's what I call spiritually dense. You see what I'm saying? Or spiritually dull. Okay? Are you all right? And so he then goes on and says in verse 16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. In other words, what he's saying is many people in many generations, even though they obeyed me, weren't living at the time today where they could see what you're seeing. So you're in a position of great privilege because you're seeing what the righteous people in other previous generations didn't get to see. But they looked for it. They looked for it. So I have to tell you this. Now listen. You can be more sensitive or you can be more dense depending upon your response to what God says in the Word and the voice that you hear in your heart. I'll tell you the truth about it. I know whole families that are spiritually dull. No, I'm serious. I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying I've met whole families. It's just the whole condition. The condition is in the whole. And let me tell you that. Some of those families that I've met that I've seen like that, I know some of the history on some of them, and it's generations of ignoring God. Generations of ignoring God. Generations of it. I've traveled over this nation. You drive into some cities and you can sense that there's a dullness there. People are not excited. They don't want anything. If Jesus himself came, they wouldn't be too excited. Spiritually dense. And so we have to realize then that the spiritual leaders in the days of Israel when Christ was on earth were spiritually dense, spiritually dull, not able to discern. And they didn't get there overnight. What causes people to become spiritually dull? I can compare two scriptures to you that'll show it to you real easily. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 will show you this. Everybody okay, or you want me to change the subject? All right. Just check it. Make sure I'm preaching to the right crowd. Hate to be in the wrong church preaching to the wrong people. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What would be sin? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you don't believe what God says in his word, if you don't believe what God tells you in your heart, guess where you're at? I'm not talking about not knowing whether you believe or not. I'm talking about having the knowledge and just saying, forget it. Just forget it. Just forget it. I refuse. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, most people aren't like that. Most Christians aren't like that. They're not actively against. Let me just tell you where a lot of Christians are. I'm not necessarily talking about here, but I'm talking about mainline denominations and things of that nature. And sadly enough, it's creeping into some of our spirit-filled circles. They're not actively against the word. They're just indifferent to it. They're just indifferent to it. That's a very dangerous position to be. Actually, you know, one of the churches in Revelation, the church at Laodicea, that was charged with being lukewarm, or you could say indifferent. And so that's why there's no recognition of the things of God. And he says here, goes on and it says, verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Verse 15, while it is said, today if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The Israelites hardened their hearts when they came to the land of Israel. And they said, we refuse. They refused to believe. The language is not that they just didn't simply understand. They absolutely refused to move that in that direction. Believed that they could take the land. And so they died in the wilderness. They never entered into the promised land. But God tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 that if we do believe, we will move into that rest, that promise that God has given to us. Isn't that correct? Amen. And so we see that the Israelites started going this route of spiritual dullness. In those days, most of that generation died without receiving the promise. Another generation rose up, entered into the land. But it's like with any generation, every generation draws lines about what they're going to do in following God and in moving with God and the things of God. And it's okay as long as you go as far as you know. Okay? But what happened with the Israelites is they wanted their king, so they got Saul. And then you trace the history. You see many times where God dealt with them. They would repent and come back for a period of time, and then they'd turn their back on God, and then they would not listen to his voice, ignore his voice. And so it went hundreds of years of back and forth, serving God, ignoring God, serving God, ignoring God, or disobeying God, that type of thing. And finally, it seemed as if it got more and more of ignoring, disobeying God, idol worship, and so forth. And it's Isaiah's made this statement. He said he looked for a man who would stand in the gap, and he found none. No one. And so they went into captivity, physical captivity. But now listen to me. Let me just say this to you. You can be physically a captive and spiritually sensitive. You understand what I mean by that? I mean, you can be conscious of God even though you might be in, somebody might have you captive. But it's also possible to be free and spiritually dull because of decisions that were made over a period of time. You don't get to this place very easily that we talk about as far as Israel is concerned. But I will tell you this. In the end, they missed their time of visitation. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss any times when Christ wants to manifest himself to me. Okay? Now turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, and you look at Paul, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was one of the Jewish people, Israelites, at the time when Christ was alive. And here's what he says. We're going to look at several verses. We got Romans 9, 1, and then we're going to go to Acts chapter 23, verse 1. In Romans 9:1, he said this, I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying. Underline not lying. My conscience, underline my conscience, also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. In other words, he always told the truth as he knew it. Even when he was absolutely wrong, he still thought he was absolutely right. He thought he was following God with all his heart, everything he had. Now, Acts 23:1, Paul looked earnestly at the council, said this, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Now listen to me. How could a man say that when he's persecuted God's people, when he got it so wrong that God had to knock him down on the road to Damascus? How many of you, at least you didn't have to have a Damascus Road experience where God shines a bright light down and knocks you out of your car on laying down on the road and blinds you for 3 days to get your attention, to get you convinced that you need to follow God? I mean, at least God didn't have to do that with you, right? How many of you are glad about that? How did that tell you? He said, well, I don't know. I don't think it was a pleasant experience for Paul for the most part. I think he was astounded. I think he had joy in discovering Christ. But then he had this 3 days of blindness, and he had to send Ananias to come over and lay hands on him for him to be healed. What an experience. Most of us don't have that kind of salvation experience, do we? Didn't have to have that. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. He said this. He said, "Men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Even when he was doing what he thought was right, but it really wasn't recognizing everything that God had done, he was a man after truth. He was a lover of truth. He loved the truth as he knew it. He just didn't know enough. Like what was it God told Brother Hagin one time? You do believe as far as you know. And Paul, I'd have to say, he believed as far as he knew, but he just didn't know enough. How many of you believe as far as you know? You know, it's impossible to believe beyond your actual knowledge of the word. But you do believe. How many of you just testify and let the devil know? I do believe as far as I know. Amen. I believe the word. Now go on. In Acts chapter 24, verse 16, he said, "I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man." That was his goal. He said, I'm not going to violate my conscience. I'm going to walk in truth. I'm not lying. He said, I'm in everything that I'm doing, I'm going to be forthright. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be truthful. And I'm going to seek God with all my heart. And he became a very sensitive person, spiritually speaking. And so the Jews weren't always dull, but they became that way over a period of time. And I'd have to say it this way, in contrast, over a period of time, Paul became more spiritually sensitive. Okay? And so every day, let me just inject this, because I know I'm going to have to quit. I haven't really been able to get to where I really wanted to get, but we'll maybe pick it up some other time. But I just want to give you some thoughts, because you see, what you do with the word and your daily decisions matters a lot. You're either making decisions to either become more spiritually sensitive and able to discern between good and evil, what is God and what is counterfeit. If you make decisions for the word, to obey, to do what God says, or you're making a decision to be spiritually moved towards spiritual dullness by refusing. And so I want you to know that you and I are in the driver's seat. I can become more spiritually sensitive by taking certain actions. Amen. I encourage you to look into the Word of God. Because and say, whatever it says, I believe I can do it. Whatever the word tells me to do, I believe. Now, you have to say it by faith. Isn't that right? Because there's some things in there that if you just looked at it with your mind, you'd say, I don't think I can do that. How many of you do believe, though, that if God tells me to do something, I believe he will help me do it? Yeah. Amen? Because he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me or who enables me. He empowers me. If I can't do it, I can't do it. But I'm going to tell you, I have somebody helping me. Isn't that right? I believe something else that you can do is to begin to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit as a person who lives on the inside of you. Don't ignore him all the time. He's the one who tells you whether something's right or wrong. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever tried talking to him? You know, somebody comes and visits at your house and you put them in a room and you have them there, you wouldn't ever think of all the time that they're there not saying anything to them. Well, I said hi when they came in. And if they want anything, they know where to find me. Like one man said, he said, if God wants me to talk to me, he knows where I live. He knows my address. He can talk to me. He can find me. I thought, yeah. I'll bet you hadn't had any letters lately, have you? No, my friend, it's not like that. No, my friend, it's fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. He's a person. He'll let you know. I believe it helps to be in a good church where they preach the word too. Like this. In October of 1992, I was praying and I heard these words. It was a month before the presidential elections in November of that year. And the Lord spoke to me, and this is what I heard. He said, in the near future, there will be an escalation of manifestations, and many will be deceived because they do not know the person nor the work of the Holy Spirit. And I've seen things happen. I've seen people attribute things to God that could in no way be compatible with the nature and work of God. I had some particular, you know, in every revival, there's the things of God, and then the devil sends a counterfeit. In every revival. How many of you, you know, we're wanting revival. How many of you want revival? God to move. And you want manifestations. But you also, how many of you would like to know which manifestations are of God and which ones aren't? Isn't that right? I remember a particular outpouring where there's a lot of good things happening in the middle of it. But people were started testifying, and they said, well, you know, I started barking like a dog. The Lord made me bark like a dog. And then I had people come to me and say, what do you think of that, Brother Marvin? I said, well, you know, first of all, I wasn't there. So I can't say definitively, but I do know, based on the nature and the work of the Holy Spirit, that an experience with him is not going to degrade you to a point where you're going to act like a lower species. Isn't that right? Yes. But I do believe that an experience with God is going to lift you up. It's going to help you to act better. Isn't that right? Help you to rise up and be better at everything that you do. Be a better person. Be able to speak better. Be able to do better. Be able to love more. Be able to be a better example for Christ. Isn't that right? Amen. Be a better witness, a more powerful witness for Christ. And so I want to encourage you along those lines to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God as a person and to always yield to the Word of God and to the voice of God. And when you see manifestation, always be listening down here in your spirit. Don't just judge everything by what you know up there. You know, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and he knows things you don't. And sometimes he'll alert you on things. Isn't that right?
Yes.
I remember, you got time for one more?
Yes.
I remember there was I don't know if it was an outpouring. The guy in charge said it was. Is that bad? I'm sorry. So I went to one of the meetings. And I'm watching, you know. And so they're having, I don't know, wild, it was wild, you know. And all of a sudden, here comes a woman on the floor, laying on the floor, and comes, not using her hands, not using her feet, comes wiggling across the floor like a snake and moving about this fast. And in my spirit, I just rose up, that's the devil. But everybody else thought it was the Lord. They said, look at that woman. Isn't the Lord using her? Shut up. Since when does God act like a snake? You understand what I mean? Now, I'm giving some extreme examples, but on the other hand, there's a lot of things that we face that aren't necessarily that extreme. But we ought to be able to discern. Isn't that right? Amen? I got something one thing that I'll tell you this. You ought to be led by the Spirit of God and who you support in the elections coming up. I know I'm treading. No, I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you to go one way or the other. I'm simply saying be sensitive on the inside. Don't go by your head. Don't go by just because it's a certain party. That's not the issue. The issue is down in here. Down in here. Be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And so I encourage you to that way you won't get taken advantage of. I'll tell you what, it makes me mad when I find out God's people get taken advantage, ripped off, you know. I want to go find that rip-off artist. I want to take away his ability to do that. But, you know, I have to learn and leave it with the Lord, you know. But you know, it's just not pleasant when you have to help pick up the pieces. Amen. And so I want to just encourage you. To every day as you read the word and as you go through your day, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit on the inside. Because as you do that, you're going to become more sensitive. And be ready to obey. Look at your neighbor and say, be ready to obey. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand. We better quit here. Did you get something tonight? All right. Well, I don't know what I'll do next time, but on the other hand, I got about 20 more pages, but I don't know whether I've said enough or not. We'll discern that here in a few days, between now and the next time. All right, let's lift our hands up and thank God for His Word. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you're doing a good work. Thank you that you're helping us. Ha 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 ha. Ha. Hallelujah. Let's just worship the Lord just a moment. Just lift your hands up and worship the Lord just a moment. Ha! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let that be clear so I can be able to do it. If it's clear, I'll do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hold on to the Word of God. That Word that's been given to you. And do not drift away from it. Yea, even as some in this room have done. You've drifted away from that word which has been given to you. And you've gotten busy with other things. Return to that word that's been given to you, both written and that voice that has spoken inside of you. Return to that. And you'll be able to move on and become a person who senses those things that come from heaven above. There'll be a flow that will come as you heed my word, says the Lord. And you'll be able to move in those things that you desire, even that's been spoken in your heart. Heed my word. Heed my word. Heed my word. Hallelujah. Now let's just lift our hands and thank God for the Holy Spirit, the admonishment. You say, what was that? Well, it's just the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart, and I just basically spoke it out. Spoke out what I heard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you now. Let's dedicate ourselves. Let's heed His word. Let's heed His word and follow it. Father, right where you are, just do that with me, would you? Just say, Lord, I heed your word. And I commit to follow it. I will listen. I will look into your word. And what I hear, I will hold on to. I will not let it be carelessly taken from me. I will not drift away from it. But I will cling to it. I will hold on to it. And I will move in the direction of the word that I see and that I know. And so if you help me, I will walk with you and perceive and discern, yea, even the good things from the bad, the things that are of you, Lord, and the things that are not. Hallelujah. 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 You'll be able to walk in a new dimension of living. There'll be some freedom that'll come. How'd I say that, Lord? Here's this. Here's what I'm saying. Some of you are going to walk in new freedom because the Lord will help you to see all of a sudden the doors that have been opened whereby things have kept coming into your life and you've been fighting, you've been fussing, you've been crying out to God, oh, God, help me, I need to move. But no. He'll show you those doors to shut and you'll see that it was just a door that you had open all the time. And once that door is shut, you'll find out that you'll be able to move with Him and have a freedom and peace within. Now let's lift our hands up. Let's just thank Him again one more time. I'm trying to close this thing. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord wants to help us. He wants to help you. He's for you, not against you. He'll do everything He can. Oh, yes. And even when He sees you turn away and make a decision not to do the word, He'll try again to get you to that place. But oh, the time that's wasted in returning. My. He wants you to come along with Him because He's got something for you that'll satisfy those yearnings within and will help you to walk in a life that you can only have with Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, now I feel good. All right, praise the Lord. We've got prayer people down here. If you want prayer for anything, if you need to receive Christ as your Savior, dedicate your life, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, have prayer for anything, if you come down here, they'll pray for you, the ladies over here and the men over here, and they'll be glad to do that. We're going to believe God. Amen. And then God will meet your needs. Those of you that are first-time guests, the connection team, if you'll connect with them and take them to that place to get that wonderful gift that's been prepared for them, let's give our first-time guests a great big hand again. Just let them know that we appreciate them being here tonight. And we're glad that you're here tonight. Come Wednesday, Hour of Power, 7 p.m., and look forward to a great time there. In the meantime, heed His word. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.